we owe it to God, to those around us, to prepare for it. 10 years ago or so, Laura and I were introduced to a man at our previous church looking for someone to homeschool his teenage daughter through her senior year of high school. She had hung around the wrong crowd at school. This crowd had got her hooked on drugs. And this dad was not going to stand by and do nothing. He pulled her out of school, got her into rehab, and enrolled her on an online high school program to get her GED. Laura agreed to assist this single dad in helping his daughter get her GED. The father tried out for the worship team at our church and earned a spot on the team playing the bass guitar. It was a pleasure and a joy to watch him play the guitar and use his gift to glorify God and lead us in worship each Sunday. He was one of those emotional, demonstrative guitar players. He used his whole body to play the guitar, not just his fingers. His daughter was a joy to have in our home and was great with Steph and Luke and Carolyn. She finally graduated from her online school program and received her GED. She enrolled at the local community college that fall. Everything was going well for this father and daughter. The daughter received a call from her mother to inform her that she was getting remarried and wanted her to come out to the wedding in California. The daughter went out to California for a couple of weeks to spend some time with her mom and be there for the wedding. While in California, the daughter met a few people and made some friends. One of these friends was a drug user. This led the daughter to relapse and start using drugs again. The daughter overdosed and died on the morning of her mom's wedding. Obviously, this was devastating to the father that did everything he knew how to do to love, to protect, and help his daughter. He was angry at the friend who provided the drugs. He was upset with his ex-wife for not knowing what was going on in our own home. After the loss of his daughter, we did not see this father on the worship team or attending church. Our calls, texts, emails to reach out and invite him over to our house to be there for him during his loss and grief was politely rejected. He said it hurt too much. Evil had taken the life of this young, beautiful lady. Evil had made this father leave the church and his faith behind. Looking back at this tragic event makes me wonder if the father discovered that his faith was maybe in church activities or family or using one's gifts and not in Christ. If we base our faith on the lack of suffering, then our faith will fall apart when we are faced with evil and tragedy. Suffering and evil exert a force that either pushes us away from God or pulls us toward Him. I believe the difference between being pushed away from God and moving toward God has to do with trust. Believing God exists is not the same as trusting the God who exists. I'm personally dealing with evil in my life from the outside looking in. I have an extended family member who is being physically abused in her relationship with her boyfriend. And it's not limited to her, but is also extended to their 4 children. It has gone so far that the police and Child Protective Services have been called in to intervene. One child told the police and CPS that we have more bad days at home than good days. This child also stated, I was hit so hard with a toy gun by my dad that I could only lay on the floor, for I could not even feel my body. They took the child to the hospital for examination. After examination, doctors reports there is no physical evidence of any head trauma. CPS determined that there was not a safety risk for the children, and they were ordered back home to the abusive father. That is a harsh reality that those kids face, and I face as a concerned uncle. I don't understand how the mother protects and defends the father of her children when she receives the same abuse. Anger rises up and wants to come to the rescue of these innocent children. My flesh wants to take this abusive person and give him a taste of his own abuse. But Scripture tells us in Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The situation makes me cry out to God like the prophet Habakkuk did in chapter 1, verse 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contentions arise. Therefore the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth, for the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore perverse judgment proceeds. Psalms 10:1 asks the questions, why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? Psalms 4:29 reads, I will say to the God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Psalms 44, verses 23 and 24, awake, why do you sleep, O Lord? Arise, do not cast us off forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our affliction and our oppression? I believe God has these passages to graciously invite our cries, so long as we remain willing to listen to his response. I don't know how the story is going to end for my niece and her children, but I'm going to trust in the God who exists to turn what was meant for evil into good. I was recently encouraged by my situation by watching the recently released movie, I Can Only Imagine. This movie is a true story of the lead singer of Mercy Me, Bart Millard, who grew up with an abusive father. Bart was physically beaten 3 to 5 times a week. His mother left the abusive environment and left him with his dad. His dad pushed him to be a football player like he was, but a football injury ended his sports journey, which led to him joining the glee club at school. This led him to finding his talent as a singer and getting the lead role for the school musical. This led to more friction and abuse from his father. Singing does not pay the bills. Bart joins a band and leaves home. They tour around the country singing at youth camps, churches, fairs, and wherever they can get a gig. The band has an opportunity to sign with a record label, but that falls through. And Bart's manager tells him, you need to go stop running away from whatever it is you're running from. So Bart temporarily leaves the band and decides he needs to go back home and see his dad. Upon returning home, Bart comes across a piece of paper from his father's doctor with a diagnosis of cancer. This starts the healing and forgiveness process for Bart and his dad. They begin to have a healthy father-son relationship. His dad finally passes away from cancer. After the death of his dad, Bart writes the lyrics to the song, I Can Only Imagine, in 10 minutes. But in all actuality, it took him a lifetime to write that song. The song becomes the number one selling Christian song of all time. This song has ministered to millions who have lost loved ones. This story, really this testimony, encourages me in my current confrontation with evil from child abuse with my extended family. Bart suffered abuse at the hands of his father, which was evil, but God turned what was meant for evil into good by restoring the relationship between the father and a son through a diagnosis of cancer, which was evil as well. the cancer was not from God. God just used it. And then the death of his father, which led to the number one selling Christian song of all time. Evil, God, good. Again, I don't know how God is going to change evil for good in the lives of my niece and her children, but I put my trust in a God who exists and who can do it. Bible scholars and theologians put evil in two categories, primary evil and secondary evil. Primary evil is the immoral things that we do. Secondary evil is the consequences we suffer. Secondary evil causes us to ask the question, why do innocent people suffer? God hates the primary evils we commit, while we hate the secondary evils, the consequences God determines or permits. Secondary evils befall us even when we have not directly committed a sin that causes them. We should not have to deal with secondary evils if we didn't belong to a sinful world. Back in January, Natalie gave us an update on her work in Africa. She shared several testimonies. I want to revisit two of them, for I think they illustrate the difference between primary evil and secondary evil. Natalie shared that there were two girls that were playing in front of the compound, right next to a very dangerous road. A vehicle had hit and injured both girls. This is an example of secondary evil. The girls did not do anything immoral to get hit by this vehicle, and as far as we know, the driver was not under the influence or was not a terrorist seeking to kill someone. Natalie and others were summoned to help these two little girls. Both girls were put in the back seat of the vehicles and taken to the hospital. Natalie was in the back seat with the girl with the more extreme injuries. Natalie knew from her medical training there was not much that she could do, so she just prayed for the girl. Natalie described how the presence of God filled the back seat of that car and how Jesus was with that little girl, comforting her in her time of pain and suffering. That little girl died from her injuries. As I was listening to Natalie speak, I could just imagine how Jesus was comforting that little girl as she was in Natalie's arms and moving into the everlasting arms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thought to myself, when I face evil and tragedy, I want to have that experience. The presence of God that is so strong and so overwhelming that you can feel it and know that God is overcoming evil with good. The other girl was taken to the hospital with more internal injuries, but was miraculously healed by God with no ill effects. Evil, God, good. The next story Natalie shared is an example of primary evil. Natalie spoke of two sisters that would come to, I believe it was the school or the church, and the mother was a witch doctor that lived next door to the compound. The two sisters would sing worship songs at home that they had learned at school and church. This eventually led the mother to come to church and her two girls, and she came to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. As a result of this mom putting her faith in Jesus, she could no longer be a witch doctor, which was the main source of income for this family. When the husband heard about her losing her income because of her faith in Jesus, the husband physically beat her up. Domestic violence, a primary evil, a moral evil. The story does not end there. The Fitzsimmons, a family who are teachers at the compound, heard of the situation and provided funds to this new believing mom so she could open up a stand outside her home selling snacks and drinks as a source of income for her family. Evil, domestic violence, God using the Fitzsimmons to do good. Evil, God, good. I don't know about the Fitzsimmons' financial situation. I do know they are missionaries, and usually missionaries aren't sitting on a whole lot of extra cash. for them to do what they did for this sister in Christ is exemplary. I hope this story encourages us to be ready, willing, and able to help those facing evil and tragedy, however God wants to use us to overcome evil with good. Scripture can speak of primary and secondary evils in the same context. In the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 11, verse 17, uses the word evil both in the primary sense and the secondary sense. Jeremiah 11:17 reads, "For the Lord of hosts who planted you has pronounced doom," or in your version it might say evil or disaster or calamity, "against you for the evil of the house of Israel and the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger in offering incense to Baal." The word evil used twice here is the Hebrew word ra, which I believe David spoke about when we were back in the book of Genesis in the Garden of Eden. When this verse says, "For the Lord of hosts who planted you has pronounced evil or doom against you," that ra evil there is God bringing a consequence, a judgment upon Israel's actions. This is not a moral evil. The moral evil was Israel's actions of offering incense to Baal. So simply put, when people are disobeying God, that is a moral evil. When God brings, permits doom, disaster, calamity, that is a secondary evil. Another way to say it is, there can be a righteous ra, a righteous calamity, a righteous disaster, but there's no such thing as a righteous evil. Jeremiah 32:23 reads, "And they came in and took possession of it, but they have not obeyed your voice or walked in your law. They have done nothing of all that you have commanded them to do. Therefore, you have caused all this calamity," ra, "to come upon them." The word translated calamity here is again the Hebrew word ra. Israel brought the sin by not obeying God's voice or walking in his law. God righteously brought sin's disastrous consequences. Hence, secondary evil of suffering, judgment can get our attention and prompt us to repent of our primary evil. After promising judgment, God also promised he would bring good to his people, good that would ultimately outweigh the evil. Notice how many times the word good is mentioned in the following passage in Jeremiah 13, beginning in verse 38 through 42. "They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Then I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from doing them good. But I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. Yes, I will rejoice over them. I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and all my soul. For thus saith the Lord, just as I have brought all this great calamity, ra, on these people, so I will bring them all the good that I have promised them." God's people endure temporary judgment for their sin, but God makes an everlasting covenant, promising, "I will never stop doing good to them." Evils, whether primary or secondary, will not have the final say. God will replace both with everlasting good. In the spirit of Resurrection Sunday, I want to share the greatest story of evil God and good. It was evil that entered Judas and betrayed his friend Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. It was evil when they put a crown of thorns on his head. It was evil when Pilate washed his hands of Jesus and gave in to their chants, "Crucify him." It was evil for every whip, cat of nine tails, and chains by the Roman guards that ripped open the flesh of the body of Jesus. It was evil after the flogging he received then to make him carry his own cross to the hill called Calvary. It was evil when they put the nails through his hands and his feet. It was evil for Jesus to be on the cross for 6 hours of excruciating suffering. It was evil to offer him vinegar to drink when he said, "I thirst." It was evil for the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders to mock Jesus as he hung on the cross. It was evil to pierce his side and let the blood and water flow out of his body. It was evil when Jesus took his last breath and died on that cross. It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. Following his death for sin, then Jesus journeys to Hades, to the city of death, and rips its gates off the hinges. He liberates the Old Testament saints, ransoming them from the power of Sheol. They had waited there for so long, not having received what was promised, so that their spirits would be made perfect along with the saints of the new covenant. It's now Sunday morning. It's Resurrection Sunday. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. Jesus was not there. She notified the disciples, "Mary is weeping at the tomb. Two angels appear with Jesus." And now following along in John chapter 20, starting with verse 14, "Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him, 'Rabboni,' which is to say, 'Teacher.' Jesus said to her, 'Don't cling to me. I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then that same day at evening, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace with you.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. He has risen. He has risen indeed." What are the good reasons that Jesus died on the cross and rose again? Those reasons are to absorb the wrath of God, to please his heavenly Father, to learn obedience and be perfected, to achieve his own resurrection from the dead, to show the wealth of God's love and grace for sinners, to show his own love for us, to cancel the legal demands against us, to become a ransom for many, for the forgiveness of our sins, to provide the basis for our justification, to complete the obedience that becomes our righteousness, to take away our condemnation, to abolish circumcision and all the rituals as the basis of salvation, to bring us to faith and to keep us faithful, to make us holy, blameless, and perfect, to give us a clear conscience, to obtain for us all things that are good for us, to heal us from moral and physical sickness, to give eternal life to all who believe on him, to deliver us from this present evil age, to reconcile us to God so that we might belong to him, to give us confident access to the holiest place, to become for us the place where we meet God, to bring the Old Testament priesthood to an end and become the eternal high priest, to become a sympathetic and helpful priest, to free us from the slavery of sin, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, so that we might die to the law and bear fruit to God, to enable us to live for Christ and not ourselves, to make his cross the ground of all of our boasting, to enable us to live by faith in him, to give marriage its deepest meaning, to create a people passionate for good works, to call us to follow his example of lowliness and costly love, to free us from bondage to the fear of death, so that we would be with him immediately after death, to secure our resurrection from the dead, to disarm the rulers and authorities of this world, to unleash the power of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, to destroy the hostility between the races, to ransom people from every tribe, language, people, and nation, to gather all his sheep from around the world, to rescue us from final judgment, to gain his joy and ours, so that we would be crowned with glory and honor, to show that the worst evil is meant by God for good. Evil, God, good. He has risen. He has risen indeed. Let's pray. Holy and eternal Father, we are so thankful for what you did on the cross for each one of us. We are thankful that you make all things new. Thank you for the victory and the power in your name. Thank you that you hold the keys over death, that by your might, Jesus was raised from the grave, paving the way for us to have a new life with you. Thank you that you had a plan and that you made a way. We confess our need for you, fresh, new, and again. We ask that you renew our hearts, minds, and lives for the days ahead. We pray for your refreshing over us. Keep your words of truth planted firm within us. Help us to keep focused on what is pure and right. Give us the power to be obedient to your word. And when the enemy reminds us of where we've been, hissing his lies and attacks our way, we trust that your voice speaks louder and stronger, reminding us we are safe with you and that your purposes and plans will not fail. Deliver us from evil. Shine your light in us, through us, and over us. May we make a difference in this world for your glory and purpose. Set your ways before us. May we reflect your peace and hope to a world that so desperately needs your presence and healing. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your indescribable gift. To you be the glory and the honor on this resurrection day and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. If anyone is in need of prayer, we would be honored and happy to pray with you this morning.